Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill. I'm not Dr. Gene Youngblood, as you recognize by my voice. I'm standing in for Dr. Youngblood today, who is having to take care of some family issues, and it is quite an honor and privilege for me to be able to sit in for Dr. Youngblood. He always does such an excellent job. And for me, I've participated on his show in the past as a guest, but to be able to do it as a host today is quite an honor for me. I would invite you all to call in with your comments or questions that you might have, or your statements. And that number is 904-831-0917. Again, 904-831-0917. I know often that Dr. Youngblood will begin his show speaking why it is so important to speak the truth. And we should. We should speak the truth at all times and in all cases. It wasn't too long ago that I saw a video of Dr. Peter Jordanson, the renowned psychologist out of Canada, who stated very emphatically, tell the truth no matter what, no matter what the consequences might be, no matter how it might hurt, no matter how it might help, always tell the truth. And that is such good advice, and it is also biblical. One of the commandments, the Ten Commandments, is thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness. I've shared on the show before that I had the honor of attending the U.S. Air Force Academy. And the Air Force Academy, like our other military academies, have an honor code. And that code is, we will not lie, steal, or cheat, nor tolerate among us anyone who does. Now, when we first arrived at the Air Force Academy, part of our initial training is to go through what is called honor training, where they would train you on various scenarios and how your response was supposed to be. Here's an example. They said, what would you do if you were walking and you saw a quarter on a terrazzo? This was all the space in between our dormitories. What would you do if you saw a quarter? Would you pick it up and put it in your pocket and keep walking? Or would you pick it up and turn it in to the squadron officer group so that they can find out who that quarter belongs to? Well, most of us responded, pick it up and put it in your pocket. And the answer was wrong. That is stealing. It did not belong to you, so you must turn it in. And my thought was, oh my goodness, this is going to be harder than I thought to get through this honor code. But that was part of the reason why we were having that training, so that they could let you know what was expected of you by that honor code. Well, one of the things that they shared with us was that you could use what is called tact, T-A-C-T, tact, which would allow you to not completely tell the truth in certain situations. And they gave this scenario. They said, let's say you were invited out to eat by a family in the area, and they served you meatloaf, and the meatloaf was terrible. And the hostess of the house said, how did you like the meatloaf? They said, in a situation like that, you could say, Mrs. Smith, the meatloaf was delicious. In other words, you just told a lie, but they said because of tact, you could do so. Well, that just kind of confused me at the time, because my thought was, and again, I agree with Jordan Peterson, that there is never an excuse for lying. That instead of saying, Mrs. Jones, it was delicious, you simply divert the subject and say, Mrs. Jones, thank you so much for having me over to dinner. It was so good being here in your home. But how did you like the meatloaf? Oh, Mrs. Jones, I've enjoyed my time here, and the mashed potatoes were great. So tell the truth all the time, regardless of what the consequences could be. Now, recently, I came across an article. It says why every functional society needs fear of God. Well, the title itself caught my attention, so I started reading it. And as I went along, it was very interesting. It was written by Selwyn Duke. And this is how it begins. To use a twist on an Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen line, millions of people hate what they think Christianity is. Far fewer people hate what Christianity actually is. Let me say that again. Millions of people hate what they think Christianity is. Far fewer people hate what Christianity actually is. In other words, most people don't even know what Christianity is and all about, and they hate it anyway because they think it is something that it actually isn't. Bringing this to mind again as I continue reading the article is a comment I recently came across from an avowedly non-religious mother who was upset that her 7-year-old's Mormon best friend wouldn't stop talking to him about Bible stories and Jesus. And here's what the mother says. I don't want my son to be religious, honestly. I want him to learn that you should be a good person and do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, not because God will punish you if you don't. Isn't that interesting? Now, this is a common atheist perspective and one that was used by essayist Christopher Hitchens and biologist Richard Dawkins, yet it reflects a comic book understanding of faith. Here's reality. Religious people want their children to be good people too, of course, and do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. They know that motivation by love of God is the ideal, but the wise among them understand something else as well. Fear of God is also necessary. I'll continue reading the article. In fact, something corresponding to the love of God, fear of God model is reflected where many would least expect it. In psychology's prescriptions, famed psychologist Erik Erikson, by way of his well-known stages of psychosocial development, informed that when a child is in a certain early developmental stages, he only understands something is wrong if he gets punished for it. This reality may disturb the moderns who'd rather romanticize matters. Yet it's akin how very young children, that an amount of liquid remains the same despite poured from one size and shape container into one with different dimensions. Certain things are still beyond their immature minds, and moral understanding is one of them. For this reason, the parent-child model must, in a way, reflect the God-child of God model, and that a youngster should ideally love his parents, but also fear that he'll endure their wrath should he misbehave. For what else will keep him in line and prevent him from hurting himself and others until he's old enough to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do? Modern's failure to accept this reality is one reason today parenting is often so poor and too many children are woefully uncivilized. I'll continue reading this article. But here's the point. What do you do with people who, morally stunted and never rising out of these early developmental stages, psychosocial stages, never learn to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, and only respond to fear of consequences? Do you, with resignation, just accept that they'll do wrong? Some may now say that that is what the police and judicial system are for, and recalcitrants may very well end up behind bars. But this raises a question. Why even have police and a judicial system if we'll only accept a standard whereby people do the right thing because it's the right thing to do? How is it that we find fear of God's wrath too unacceptably primitive, but instinctively accept fear of government's wrath as wholly necessary? Politicians increasingly above the law behave above the law and have no respect for it. It could occur to no one that maybe, just perhaps, their behavior might be a tad better if they believed there was accountability in the next world that no amount of political clout could forestall. That's such a great point, that there are people who nowadays, and I'm no longer reading from the article, that people nowadays believe that what they can do, the end will justify the means. Whatever it takes to get your end result, you go ahead and do it, regardless of whether it is ethical, whether it is correct, whether it is the right thing to do. Just obtain the end results. And we see this in politics so much today. We see the behavior in those who are leading in the Democrat Party, Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer. And then we see it so often with the Biden press secretary, Jen Psaki. All of the people who I just mentioned, they know that when they are trying to proceed their destructive end, whether it is to destroy Donald Trump, whether it is to take down a Republican opponent, whether it is to control society, they think they are justified in telling lies, using smear campaigns, and going after those who disagree with them. It is so obvious that now Jen Psaki has become a lot more comfortable in her position as press secretary. The first week or two, she was so uncomfortable and it was obvious because everyone could see that she was not prepared. She would oftentimes say, "Let me circle back with you," and could not give them the answer that she knew would be the right answer, or because she simply didn't know. But now you see her, she is a lot more comfortable. Why? Because she lies almost every time she opens her mouth. And she doesn't care that she's lying. She doesn't care that you know she is lying. She will continue to do it anyway because that is part of her nature. That is part of deciding that what I am saying will get the end result that I want. The end justifies the means. There is no fear of what would happen after this life when you have to face a just and holy God. Now, should they be Christians, in other words, they have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, then their sins are forgiven and they can stand before a holy God. Even when they knowingly sin, they can stand before a holy God. However, Christians have this moral compass about them to where they have no desire to sin and to blatantly lie, steal, or cheat. Even though they will at times, the difference is they will not like it. They will not like how it makes them feel. That is called conviction. and they will desire to not do it again. That is not the case of someone who is not a Christian, that they feel no compunction of wrongdoing and will do it again anyway. Let me get your thoughts on that, that the fear of God is so necessary in our society. The number to call in is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Again, this is Mike Hill. I'm sitting in for Dr. Gene Youngblood, who is taking care of a family issue right now. I'm from Pensacola, Florida. I'm a former member of the Florida State House. I served from 2013 to 2016, and then again from 2018 to 2020. It was my privilege and my honor to serve the people of Northwest Florida in District 1. That's in Escambia County, the Pensacola area. Let me share with you another recent article that I came across. The title of it is Medical Dissenters Sabotaged and Silenced in Stalinist America. We are seeing it time and time again now, my fellow Americans. We are seeing where the news media in particular, and along with those on the left, are attacking those who prevent, who decide that they do not want to take the vaccination, that they do not want to wear a mask, that they do not want to go along with these lockdowns, that they are being berated, harassed, and in some cases, even arrested. This is in America today. If some of you have experienced anything like that, call in and share that experience. Now, here's an article that was written by Kaylee Nelson, and she starts off with a couple of quotes, which I think are pretty telling. One quote is by A.E. Samayan, who is an American scientist, socialist, and a Nazi collaborator. Here was his quote: "Make government the herder of the flock, and the herder will cull the undesirable sheep." Is that something that you think that this vaccine could be doing? She has another quote at the beginning of the article by Thomas Sowell, one of my favorites. Any book that you can grab and read of Thomas Sowell, you'll be much richer and much more wise after reading that book. I have read several of his. Not all of them, because he's a prolific writer. I think he has something like 20 books out there now. I've only read 4 or 5 of them, but I've always come away much smarter and enlightened after reading one of Dr. Thomas Sowell's books. Here's a quote from him. "Socialism in general has a record of failure so blatant that only an intellectual could ignore or evade it." And he goes on to say, again, another quote by Thomas Sowell, "It is amazing that people who think we cannot afford to pay for doctors, hospital, and medication somehow think that we can afford to pay for doctors, hospitals, medication, and a government bureaucracy to administer it." That's what Obamacare was all about. Obamacare was that our healthcare system has become too expensive, that is too expensive for doctors, medicines, and hospitals. So turn it over to us, and now you'll have a government bureaucracy, plus you still have to pay for the doctors, hospitals, and medicine. A complete and total disaster. And thank goodness that President Trump came in office and was able to dismantle a huge portion of Obamacare. Essentially, it was the tax mandate that said you would be taxed if you did not participate with Obamacare. Well, that was removed, which essentially gutted the whole program, but we still need to get rid of it completely. Government-run health care simply does not work, and we have seen evidence of that in both the United Kingdom and in Canada. Okay, now back to the article written by Kaylee Nelson. Physicians throughout the world have become quiet and follow the medical instructions from the hierarchy, telling them that empiric clinical methods of care are not to be used, that decades-old combinations of cheap and safe medications are unsafe. Elitists with the title of doctor who have never treated patients, much less COVID patients, are telling us these empiric treatments are dangerous and that they should only use the newer treatments recommended that cost far more and are in fact dangerous. Okay, that's the first paragraph. What this writer is saying, Kaylee Nelson is saying, is that there is ample evidence that we already have methods out there that are proven that doctors throughout the world have used to treat something like COVID-19. And that would be the ivermectin, that would be the hydroxychloroquine, and other very inexpensive ways, medications, of treating this. But we're being told by those like Dr. Fauci, and she was correct in saying, have never treated a patient, much less COVID patients, are telling us that now you must get these very expensive vaccines, that when you go into hospitals, they use protocols that are in some cases making the situation worse. So we're being told don't use the inexpensive, trusted, tried, and found to be true medications. Try this experimental vaccine instead. To me, I think that's insane. Okay, let's go back to the article. Politicians on both sides of the aisle are telling me, they're telling Kaylee Nelson, the author of this, I'm unpatriotic, that I'm a killer, that I should be as frightened and freaked out as the rest of the sheeple, and that I'm a full-fledged creature of sin for not listening to our omniscient and all-powerful government to get the jab. Well, they can kiss my grits, she writes, because I've already had COVID. And like the other 99.75% of the people who actually had COVID, I survived and recovered. Take note, she writes, I am a sinner, but saved by grace and faith. Amen. I liked how she ended, how she said that. The article goes on, but I would like to say this. Since all this began, pretty much March of last year, 2020, I have not worn a mask, and I refuse to get that experimental vaccine. The reason I have not worn a mask was not just because I'm being defiant. It's one, because it's been proven that they are ineffective. They don't work. It's been proven medically, scientifically, that they don't work. So to just walk around with this mask on just so that it makes someone else feel better was nonsense to me. So I don't wear masks. The only time I've worn a mask is when I'm flying, because they won't let you get on a plane without it, and they'll create all kinds of problems for you if you don't wear it while you're on a flight. So travel nowadays have become so tedious for me. I travel about once a month somewhere in Florida to speak at various conservative groups. So the only time I wear that mask is when I'm speaking, or I'm sorry, when I'm flying or traveling to go speak to these groups. Other than that, I don't wear it. And I'm telling you now, I will not take that experimental vaccine. You are not going to put that into my body. Listeners out there, call in. Tell me your thoughts on this. Call-in number is 904-831-0917. Let's continue with this article by the author. Her name is Kaylee Nelson. Truly, the demand for this evil injection has reached a pitch of no return. They'll pay you. They'll give you donuts. They'll have a lottery. And they'll make you believe they can mandate this evil to be put in your body. Forget about HIPAA laws. Forget about our Fourth Amendment. And forget about the pro-abortion phrase, My body, my choice. The article goes on to say, one journalist actually stated that those of us who refuse the COVID jab should be put in jail. Another politician said we shouldn't be allowed to have a normal life. And good old Mayor de Blasio, whose real name is Warren Wilheim, and she goes on to say, sounds like a Nazi to me, has decided New Yorkers can't go into businesses or restaurants, etc., unless they've succumbed to being jabbed with a deadly concoction. We're going to talk about that a little bit further because there was another interesting article I read where it states that 31% of New Yorkers who have not received the COVID jab are from the Black community. So now, according to de Blasio, they are going to be forcibly segregated from society. That 69% of the Black community in New York will not be able to go into a business, will not be able to buy food, will not be able to go in a restaurant because they have not had the jab. Okay, let's go back to the article. You think I'm kidding? Scientists and physicians worldwide say it is deadly. There's a professor, Luc Montagnier, a French virologist and Nobel Prize winner, predicted the potential outcome of mass vaccinations. He says, mass vaccinations are a scientific error as well as a medical error. It is an unacceptable mistake. The history books will show that because it is the vaccination that is creating the variants. Antibodies created by the vaccine forcing the virus to find another solution or die. This is how the variants such as Delta are created. I'm hearing now that there is an Epsilon variant. These variants are a production and result of the vaccination. This is what Professor Luc Montagnier, a French virologist and Nobel Prize winner, says. These variants are a result of the vaccination. So, these vaccinations are indeed deadly. Now, normal variants, let's go back to the article. Normal variants are simply 0.03% of the original virus. That is 0.0003. And they are harmless to anyone who has already recovered from the illness and has God's perfect immunity. Now, I won't declare that I have God's perfect immunity, but I will say this, that God has been good to me and my family, and none of us have caught the COVID virus. And I'm going to thank him and praise him that I won't come down with that virus. Okay, let's go back to the article. Dr. Robert Malone, an inventor of the messenger RNA, tells us that the Pfizer inoculation is in the waning phase, is causing the virus to replicate more efficiently than it would otherwise. It is called antibody-dependent enhancement, or less precisely, disease enhancement. Folks, we're going to be taking a break at the top of the hour. Then we will continue with some more information about these lockdowns, about these jabs that they are wanting you to take. And I want to get your thoughts on that. After the break, we'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.